to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm here with Jeff Goins. Jeff has a passion for writing, creativity and changing the world. His writing appears in many top blogs around the web, and his blog was also voted as one of the top 10 blogs for writers in 2011-2012. His first non-fiction book, Wrecked, When a Broken World Slams into Your Comfortable Life, will be out in August 2012. So welcome, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Joanna. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's great to meet you because I've, you know, been following you online for a while now, so it's lovely to have you on the show.
Yeah, likewise. I've been a follower of your blog for a while and love what you do, so it really is a pleasure and a privilege for me.
Thank you. So why don't you start by telling us a bit about you, your writing background, and also about this upcoming book?
Sure. Yeah, well, I've been writing my whole life, but only recently have I started really calling myself a writer and considering my craft as a, you know, professional interest instead of just some sort of side hobby, which incidentally I think is something that writers do a lot of. They sort of dismiss their gifts and talents because they're easy or come natural, or they're scared, and that was certainly the case for me. And, you know, I had a friend challenge me about a year and a half ago now, and he asked me what my dream was, and I said, oh, you know, that's kid stuff. I don't really have a dream. I've got a good day job and a family and you know, everything's secure and good. I don't need to worry about that. And he said, oh, that's too bad. I would have thought that your dream was to be a writer. And when he said that, that really resonated with me. It kind of struck a chord and hurt a little bit in a good way, because it convicted me of something that I wasn't doing that I needed to be doing, which was taking myself seriously. So, you know, all that to say, this kind of started this exploratory process where I looked back at my life and examined the things that I'd always done. And I'd heard that if you want to know what you're supposed to do with your life, you don't need to look forward, you need to look backward. And I thought, well, that's easy. I thought I had to discover something new, and instead I just had to just uncover something old. And so I realized that since I was 5-6 years old, I had written, created things, told stories, those sorts of things. So I've been writing my whole life, and really this past year I've been taking it pretty seriously. And as a result of that, I started the blog. I've been blogging in other places for about 6 years. But this past year, I just really focused. I focused on one topic, which was writing, and I tried to build a platform to hopefully earn the attention of some publishers and hopefully write some nonfiction books. And so that happened a lot sooner than I thought it would.
And we'll come back to that in a minute. But I wanted to follow up there. You know, you said it sounds quite similar to a lot of us, I think, is that looking back and then realizing that this is something we've always wanted to be. And I was very much the same. But what was interesting there is you said about, you know, calling yourself a writer. And also for me, the word author, you know, I am a writer, I am an author, I am creative. These were the things that I struggled to say. What do you think about that? When can people start calling themselves a writer or permission? And when can they use the word author?
For me, it was always, I never was comfortable calling myself a writer because I thought that I wrote, but I thought that a writer is somebody who gets paid or, you know, makes $1 million or sell, you know, gets on the New York Times bestseller list. I wasn't sure what qualified it. I just knew that I wasn't it. And I think that with our life's passions and callings, we're always waiting to arrive at some moment where we're legitimate, but we don't know what that moment is. And so we're always waiting, never satisfied. It can be really emptying and really lonely. And so, I didn't know. So I read this great book that I recommend for any writer, aspiring author, called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. Mm-hmm. Probably familiar with it.
Yeah.
And he talks about turning pro.
Yeah.
And he talks about that there's a shift that happens in every professional artist's life where they go from amateur to professional. And really the only distinction is you taking yourself more seriously. And that happened when I just decided to call myself a writer. I just decided, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to believe it about myself. Even if I don't have anything to show for it, I'm just going to start. And when I did that, the quality of my work dramatically increased. And nothing actually happened. I didn't take a class. I didn't go to a conference. I just changed my mind. And as I was doing that, I got the opportunity to interview Steve Pressfield. And I asked him this question that I was still sort of struggling with. When do I become a writer? When do I get to say I'm an author? When does this happen? And he said, you are when you say you are. Mm. And I said, well, what about the bestsellers list? And what about, you know, having an editor, an agent, or this or that, or a publisher? And he said, screw what everybody else says or thinks. You are when you say you are. And I just think that's so true. We can wait and wait and wait if we're waiting for somebody to affirm our gifts, and we will never feel like that thing that we're hoping we are until we start believing it about ourselves. At least that was my experience. So I think writer, author, artist, entrepreneur, plumber, whatever it is, when you begin to call yourself that thing, when you begin to really think of yourself as that, you start acting like a professional and you create great work. And so I know a lot of people who are, you know, aspiring authors, or on their Twitter profiles or Facebook pages or email signatures, they have wannabe whatever. And I just think that's really detrimental.
Yeah,
I
mean, don't do that.
Yeah, it's like, and you get caught in this cycle of not believing that you're good enough and therefore not producing a, you know, great work, and then nobody pays attention, and then keep believing that you're not good enough. It's just awful cycle. And so, you know, whether it's an author or writer or whatever, I know the technical definition of author, I think, is you've got a published book. But in the world of social media, where publish is a button that you press, you can publish yourself. You can choose yourself, and you can be whatever you're hoping somebody else calls you now.
Yeah.
And I think that's essential to creating great work and being taken seriously in the world today.
Yeah, and I agree with all of that. So fantastic. I think we've been reading definitely the same books. And The War of Art, I do recommend for everyone. And of course, Do the Work, which is the shorter, I guess, version that was done for the Domino Project.
Yeah, that's a great companion, as you know. I mean, you've been very prolific in your writing. That's a great companion for any work. You know, a lot of artists are great at starting things, but they're poor at finishing them. And it's a short little guide about just keep moving, finish the project, the book, you know, the painting, whatever.
Yeah. Actually, it's funny. I have a quote on my wall right here, and I'll read it for the listeners. It says, "On the field of the self stand a knight and a dragon. You are the knight. Resistance is the dragon. The battle must be fought anew every day." And that's from The War of Art. So
yeah, I love that quote.
Yeah. Brilliant one. Okay, so we're writers loving here. So everything you've said so far fits into kind of, you've got this great free manifesto on your site, but you've also got an ebook coming out. You know, you are a writer, so start acting like one. So could you just, you know, continue, I guess, is that going to be like a kick writers up the bum type of ebook?
Yeah, well, you know, I found that that's one of the things that I'm gifted at, passionate about, and something that resonates with people. And it certainly resonates with me. I mean, The War of Art, Pressfield, is certainly epitomizes that art as a war, you know, mentality. And I know that I'm lazy, undisciplined, easily distracted, and I know that there is this battle being fought in me. Mm-hmm. And when I lose, the world misses out on some creative gift that I have to offer it. And when I win today, then I, you know, I beat resistance and I get to push something forward and share it with the world that will hopefully make a difference. So yeah, I mean, that voice really resonates with me. So the manifesto is something that I wrote that I really didn't expect to take off as it has. And, you know, that's something that over, you know, nearly 10,000 people have read and shared, and it continues to resonate with people. And really, it's just a short, ebook. It's an essay. It's about 900 words, and it's sort of like a prose poetry type thing, but it's really about forgetting for a moment what everybody else thinks, forgetting about your Google Analytics if you're a blogger, forgetting about selling a million copies or getting a publisher to notice you, and just focusing on writing for the love of it. And when I began to make that shift, I realized that I enjoyed what I was doing more, mm-hmm. and that the outcome didn't determine the process. And so for me, I mean, there's this weird paradox that happens, but when you start focusing on the craft and just doing that for the love of doing it, one, you have a lot of fun doing it, and then two, if anything happens afterwards, which often it does, that's just kind of icing on the cake.
Mm.
So the Writer's Manifesto is about that. It's really about writers write not to get published, but because they love to write.
Mm.
And if you're writing for acclaim or accolades, you're ultimately going to be disappointed because there's a lot of hard work that happens. And if you're not loving the process as you go, you're eventually going to get burned out or get disillusioned. So yeah, this new ebook is really a collection of a bunch of thoughts that I've accumulated over the past year or so. It's kind of like, you know, if you're familiar with a Seth Godin or a Domino Project type book, it's, you know, these short little snippets of ideas. But it's ultimately about my process of beginning with this this conversation that I had with a friend where he told me, well, you don't have to dream of being a writer one day. You are a writer. You just need to start writing.
Mm.
And so that I think more people who call themselves wannabes or aspiring authors or whatever just need to understand you are a writer. You just need to write. Writers write. That's what they do. And if you do that, you're already one.
Yes.
And so yeah, there's a bit of butt kicking and also encouragement and bringing somebody to a point where they believe something so strongly about themselves that they are confident, which I think is essential to creating great work.
Mm, fantastic. So you clearly have an indie kind of view of, you know, picking yourself and putting yourself out there. You're basically, you're self-publishing, and yet you have a traditional book deal for your non-fiction book, Wrecked. So can you tell us a bit about the book and how you got that book contract so that people can understand how that worked?
Sure. Well, you know, I will begin by saying I don't have any sort of master plan or series of goals that I wrote down somewhere on a paper and put in a drawer, and now they're all magically coming true. I'm just sort of playing it by ear. But yeah, so, you know, as I said, I started my blog about a year and a half ago now, and it really started to take off. And when I wrote that manifesto, you know, my newsletter list grew from like 75 people to 1,000 people in about a week and a half. And that's when I was like, wow, something must be happening here. And this momentum started to build. And as that happened, a couple of publishers reached out to me. And some of them were what you might call like a hybrid publisher. They'll help you self-publish your book, but they'll charge you a bunch of money and they'll get it into all these retail outlets. And, you know, I know people who have done that and that, you know, may work for you, but it felt kind of shady to me because it was kind of the worst of both worlds.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you had
definitely.
To share your royalties with them and you ended up with, you know, not a very great product that you ultimately were, you know, had to pay for. So you might as well just self-publish at that point. But then I started talking with, a couple of people about traditional publishing, and I was building an audience at the time, and there was part of me that thought, do I really need a publisher?
Mm.
Can I just get this out there? But I didn't go that route for a couple of reasons. One, a publisher came to me, and they had the idea. So I had written this ebook, this short ebook, called Wrecked for the Ordinary, a Manifesto for Misfits. And it was something that it was a free manifesto that was shared on a website called changethis.com years ago. And I'd forgotten about it. And they found it.
Oh.
And they found it through my blog because I linked to it like on my resources page. Mm. And they said, hey, have you ever thought of turning this into a book? And I hadn't. So that was the, you know, unique opportunity there. But I found in working with a traditional publisher, at least for my first, you know, longer form book, it's been really valuable for me on a couple of fronts. One, you know, for the brand that I'm building as an author, there is this sense of legitimacy that I think is going away, but at least with, you know, some types of people, not frankly, not for people like us and lots of people who basically live online, but when I told my parents that I published an ebook, they're like, oh.
Yeah. What is that?
Whatever. You know, but when I told people on, you know, even on Twitter and Facebook, hey, I'm publishing a book, you know, with a traditional publisher, they're like, wow, like something that I can hold in my hands. Oh my gosh. So, you know, there's something to that. Again, I don't think that's going to be around forever, but there's still some of that lingering. And I do see a lot of people who are doing both and being very successful at it. They're working with traditional publishers, and also doing their own thing. But really at the end of the day for me, it was, I don't know how a book is published and I want to learn how it's done, you know, how it's been done for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that it's changing, but I want to learn the process and so that I can, you know, if it works for me, I can continue to do it like this, or I can go off and do it my own way and know that I know how it's done.
Mm.
But, you know, one of the things that I'm working on right now is like a bunch more revisions with my trade book that's coming out later this year with Wrecked. And it's grueling, you know, it's, I would never have spent this much time perfecting a book. And so I can say for this project that I'm working on, it's been worth it because I know at the end of the day, I'll have something that I'm proud of.
Mm.
And that's my goal here. It's not to make money. There's lots of great ways that you can make money online, you know, where you're not selling a,
it's not about the money.
I mean, there's much easier ways to do that. And you know, I'm exploring some of those. But as an author, as a writer, one of the most important things I want to do is create work that matters and leaves some kind of legacy and makes an impact. And hopefully this will do that. I know that we've really been diligent about the process. And so that's been great. And you can do that on your own. I just wouldn't have done it. I would have been lazy and I would have looked for shortcuts. And so that's been a really valuable experience.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I like that you're hybrid, you know, calling it a hybrid now, where you're doing, on each project, you basically decide whether or not it should go traditional, whether it should go ebook only or, you know, self-published. So I think that's the most kind of mature attitude. There's too much hype and crap around in publishing.
Right.
Basically. So, and you, I want to pick up on one thing you said there. You kind of made a very humble statement about the fact that you set up this blog like 18 months ago and then, oh, suddenly it took off. But the truth is, Jeff, you've been posting around the blogs and the top blogs on the internet for quite a long time now. And
right.
Your blog is extremely good, professional, great copywriting. I mean, I want people to realize that you haven't come out of nowhere, have you, really? Because everyone's going, what? He got a book deal in 18 months?
Yeah.
So tell us about that. How have you learned how to blog effectively and how have you blogged on these top sites?
Right. Well, I spent 5 years failing at it. So, you know, this is my sixth year of blogging. I started out on a website called Zanga, which is still around and some people may still be using. I've been on Blogger and WordPress.com. I was on a proprietary blogging network that was affiliated with my employer for a while. I actually hung around on that blog for about 4 years and had a decent audience of a few hundred people and, you know, had several articles that were number one in Google, and I felt pretty good about that, but I just wasn't passionate about what I was writing about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt stuck in a corner and I just needed something new. And so, you know, I started that last year, goinswriter.com. And basically what I did was I worked for a nonprofit and I was hired to help people. I was hired as a writer and then very quickly I became like the staff blog coach because we use blogs to tell stories and get people interested in the work that we do. And so I thought I knew a thing or two about blogging. You know, I've been doing this for years. And when I started this blog last year, I saw people doing things online that I had never been able to do personally. And I was envious and frustrated about it. And so I decided to just start from scratch. Like, what would I do differently if I didn't think I knew anything about blogging? And so I just started studying, you know, I started reading copy blogger and pro blogger a lot, I started watching people like you and what you were doing, and I noticed that a very important strategy was guest posting. And so I had been sort of hanging out doing the thing that most people that, you know, years ago you could do and you'd be successful. Start a blog, post on it every day, even if it's not very great. Just show up every day consistently, pay attention to keywords, and bam, you're a success. And it's just not true anymore. I mean, there's a much higher demand for quality. I started studying. And I believe that I didn't know everything. And I think that force, humility, helped me learn things that I never would have learned otherwise. Like, one of the things that's been most helpful to blogging for me isn't guest posting, but networking.
Yeah.
And really what that looks like is just meeting people, you know? And I noticed people that were really popular online were also really generous. And that's not everybody, but a lot of people who have been successful as bloggers or, you know, have online businesses or whatever, they have this ethos of generosity that, quite frankly, shamed me. And I was like, wow, I'm not like that. And I learned to be that way, not in a disingenuous way, you know, because people had started being generous to me and I realized, gosh, I need to pay this forward. And, you know, the blogging community is actually a pretty small community relative to the whole internet, you know, the whole world. And so if you start reaching out to people who are kind of in the trenches like you are, people are very apt to share their secrets and struggles and whatnot. And so really before I started guest posting, I just started meeting people, emailing people that I was intimidated to email, you know, people like Seth Godin or, you know, Chris Brogan or Joanna Penn or whomever, you know.
That's sweet.
People that I was like, oh, no, I can't reach out to them. And I did. And I found that 9 out of 10 times people were responsive, and that built a relationship that led to some sort of transaction, you know, a guest post or an endorsement or whatever that was ultimately helpful. But it wasn't the ask, it was the relationship that really led to an opportunity.
Mm.
And I mean, you know, I had done this for 5 years, so I was gonna hustle, you know. In the past, you know, year or so, I've started with 0 posts, and I have like 415 articles on my website now. I was really trying to hustle to build a large stockpile of resources that would continue to help people long after they had been written.
So,
yeah, I mean, I the guest posting, you know, all of that combined, I think, has, you know, been a really helpful, useful strategy.
I think, again, I think we just agree on everything. We need to have some kind of controversy going on.
Yeah,
but what you say there, I mean, I say, you know, same blogs, copy blogger. I mean, I love copy blogger. But I think modeling what you have done and other people can also get from your site is modeling success. And, you know, I look at your site and I can see how you've modeled the copy blogger kind of headline stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you've modeled your layout and and I try and do it too, and I must do more of it. And, you know, modeling success is part of how we learn, isn't it? And we have to keep doing this.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I go back to this article time and time again. Seth Godin wrote a post, which is like 2 paragraphs, you know, like he does, called The Secret of the Internet. And the subtitles is like, hint, it's a virtue, I think. And basically he says the secret of the internet is you just keep showing up every day. And he uses this phrase, drip, drip, drip. You know, the idea is it's not about being amazing. It's just about being diligent. And so, I mean, the hard thing is when you see somebody immediately have tremendous success. But usually when I talk to those people, it was an overnight success. You know, Chris Brogan just recently had an interview with Copy Blogger where he said, you know, for 8 years I had 100 subscribers.
Yeah.
And we don't want to hear that. We want to hear about the overnight success.
Mm.
Chris Guillebeau is, you know, another one of those rock stars, and he's got this great little ebook, which is, I can't remember the exact number, but it's like, you know, 300 plus days or 279 days to overnight success.
Yeah, that's a great one, yeah.
And it's about how he built his community. And the point is, there's no such thing as overnight instant success. There's a lot of hustle, and we don't always see that.
Mm.
But yeah, I think that that's That's important. And for me, you know, for blogging, I think most people do throw away content. You know, it's a blog, it's free, I can hit publish, there's no editors or people who are sort of gatekeepers. I can just hit publish. And so the problem, I'm actually writing an article about this right now for a magazine, the problem with this age of abundant information where people can publish themselves, they can choose themselves, they can, you know, they can really self-publish themselves, is there's a lot more noise. And so I think I wouldn't trade that for the world. Like, I don't think we should have censorship. You know, I love this, because if this weren't for, you know, the opportunities available to us, I probably, you know, wouldn't be talking to you right now. But the burden that we have, the people who really want to create art, who want to create meaningful content that's going to make a difference, you have to become your own censor. And so for me, I make this decision every day to create the best work I possibly can. And so I ask myself every time, whether I've written 5 articles ahead of time or whether I got to get up and, you know, pound it out at 5 a.m. this morning, I ask myself, is this the most important thing that I could be sharing today? Or is this B content? And if it's B content, can I make it A content? But if it's not, but if I can't, then I need to throw it away and start over, or maybe hesitate, not post today.
Yeah. No, I think there's some really good principles there. And you do talk about that 3 tools that writers need: the platform, the brand, and connection. I think we've talked a bit about platform there and connection. What about brand? I mean, you've basically just gone with your name and writer, which I think is a very good, because you can basically do anything with that.
Yeah.
But what do you think about brand, and how can people, you know, get to grips with that, because it's so kind of nebulous?
Well, yeah, and I think the thing with that is you don't have to be perfect, right? And it actually helps to not be perfect, because with social media, it's very relational. You know, the brand is you. If you're going to be an author, you know, more often than not, the brand is you in some respect. And you want people to recognize you. Like, that's the whole point of it. Is worse, you know, we writers are sitting in a closet somewhere, you know, typing these words in seclusion, and it's a solitary, lonely practice. And the reward is people actually notice your words and hopefully are moved and changed by them. So, you know, with a brand, in this ebook that I was talking about that's coming up, You're a Writer, I talk about that. I talk about these 3 tools that you need and how to implement them. And really, with a brand, you want a name, and you want some kind of image that people are going to recognize, and then you just try to populate that everywhere, so that when people see your Twitter feed and then meet you on Skype and then read your blog, more or less they're getting this consistent experience. And the problem is, and you know, anybody who's been on social media and then met somebody in real life has probably experienced this to some extent. You meet somebody on Twitter and then you meet them in real life and you don't recognize them. Like, that's a bad brand, you know? And sometimes people, frankly, take, you know, really flattering shots of themselves and then, you know, post it on Twitter, but then they, you know, you meet in real life, you don't look anything like that. You don't want to have a picture of you, like, you know, with your hair messed up after you just got out of bed. But you want it to be you. You want people to not be disappointed with, you know, them finally meeting you or reading something that you write or seeing you speak or whatever it is. And I think that the problem is people think you have to be perfect. They think you have to be Apple or something, and that's not true. But I think it's better to think of what a brand isn't. And a brand isn't a convoluted group of channels and names and ideas that have no intersection. You know, if you're John1234 on Twitter and DeerHunter75 on Facebook and your blog is howtobakeacake.com, what are you about? You know, like, they're... It doesn't make sense. So I think you just need to think about literally what a brand is. A brand is this image of, you know, cementing or burning something into somebody's brain. You know, branding is something that we do. Things go, this belongs to me or so and so, and I know that. And so everything that you create, every word that you write, every tweet that you post, whatever, needs to have that signature feel. And so as a writer, you know, it's your voice manifested in you know, your avatar picture online, your press kit, you know, if you've got that, you know, all of that stuff needs to be cohesive. It needs to look and feel and sound like you.
Mm. No, fantastic. So that was really great. And I can't think of anything we could argue about, to be honest.
Dang it.
So where can people find you online?
Well, you know, they can go to goinswriter.com. That's my blog. Goins is like coins, but with a G. And, you know, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, all of those places. There's links to all of that on my blog, and that's probably the easiest way to go there. And if people want that ebook that we were talking about, The Writer's Manifesto, you know, you can just opt into my newsletter list, and there's you can get that for free.
Fantastic. Well, thanks ever so much for your time, Jeff.
Yeah, my pleasure. You know, and Joanna, I would be remiss if I didn't just emphasize what a gift that your readers and listeners and viewers have in you. You know, I think that we live in an age where content is, the norm has become that content is free. And I think it's easy to overlook the blatant generosity that you lavish on your readers. And so thank you for the gifts that you're giving. I've certainly benefited from them.
Thank you, Jeff. I really appreciate that. And I enjoy it. And, you know, I love talking to people like you. And, you know, I love the podcast. So I'm sure everyone's going to enjoy this episode. So thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time!